Our scripture reading comes to us this morning through the Gospel of Luke. You all know the passage probably well before Barbara mentioned it in her wonderful children's sermon. I will be reading Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And I pray that we will hear with hearts and minds anew what God would have us to hear as we hear this familiar scripture. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you may have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know, those phrases that were embedded into our minds when we were young are so important, aren't they? Phrases like, "You can't take it with you," or "You leave this world with what you were born into this world with." Nothing. And a newer phrase that has gained in popularity during the last few years, the title of a book maybe you heard about, "Die Broke." Throughout the ages, human beings have tried to convince themselves and those around them that it is folly to store up earthly treasures because it's just stuff and it can be stripped from us in the blink of an eye. By a variety of ways, things and stuff can disappear, vanish in an instant. Fire, theft, hurricane, loss of a job, countless ways we can lose a loved one to a broken relationship or a death, and all the stuff that we have acquired with them is just stuff. And we've lost the relationship with the person, that which truly matters. And we're left with earthly treasures that are just stuff. A few weeks ago, I was traveling down a little East Texas road between Athens and a little town called Kearns. And I passed over the Trinity River, and I was coming up towards Kearns, and I saw a great, big, huge, pink neon sign with a huge yard sale, estate sale, around it. And you know what that neon pink sign said in great, big letters? Stuff. That's all it said. But you know what? It caught my eye, and I knew what they were talking about. They were talking about stuff. And that was their advertisement. come, stop, and acquire and buy more stuff. You see, we live in a world where there's lots of stuff. There's lots of advertising about stuff. If you have this, you will be this, or you will gain this, or you will feel this. I began by talking about those phrases that we heard when we were young, like, you can't take it with you. Being a hospice chaplain for 22 years, you know what I say. I've never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul. Not one time. Not at the graveside, not at the funeral home. You don't take it with you. And all that being said, we have this human, deep, burning desire to acquire earthly treasures, to build bigger barns, to hold all our harvest. Just like the rich fool we read about in this parable. Do you remember the conversation that I just read between Jesus and the man in the crowd? What happened before Jesus offered the parable? The man in the crowd wanted Jesus to serve as referee between him and his brother. And Jesus clearly says he's not going to judge whose greed is right. Jesus knows this ugly dispute is all too common. Perhaps you have been a part of or heard about a family dispute over inheritance. Unfortunately, too many times I have been with the deceased whose body's not yet been removed from the home. And family members are arguing over their loved one about stuff. Haggling over furniture, dishes, silverware, land, savings accounts, while their loved one is there who's just died. Jesus knows this ugly dispute between family members all too well. And maybe you all have been in the midst of a family dispute over stuff. It's a part of our human condition. And it's mind-boggling, and when it happens in your own family, you may be like me and think, this would have never happened in my family. But it's happening in my family. It's a callous reminder of how we human beings worship stuff. And we struggle with covetousness. And Jesus refuses to serve as judge between the two greedy brothers. And so rather than acting as judge, Jesus starts a proverbial truth. And then he elaborates, as he so often does, with a parable. And the message of the parable, covetousness is folly. You know, folly, that's a word we don't use every day in our everyday vernacular, but I love that word. It sounds like its meaning. It's folly. It's foolish. It's frivolous. Folly. That's a good word, isn't it? Covetousness is folly. And Jesus, through this parable, states clearly that one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And the rich fool serves as a great example of how human beings seem to have a burning desire to grasp at things in order to secure their future. Your visiting preacher this morning has a confession. I have done this and have been doing this, worrying about my future. You see, we just graduated our youngest from college, and my husband and I look at each other and we go, oh, retirement. Oh, we haven't thought of that. We've been thinking about raising the kids and getting them through college. And so we start talking about and worrying about and start thinking about grasping at some abundance out there for retirement. So you prepare for a sermon like this, and the good Lord stops you dead in your tracks and says, rich young fool. So here's my confession. So John Mark and I decide that instead of living like atheists, as if we can protect our future, we're not going to live like atheists, but we're going to try to live like Christians, and we're going to plan like Presbyterians. That's what we've decided. So grasping at things to secure our future, it's folly. And our cravings to hoard not only put goods in the place of God, but it's also a total disregard for the needs of others. The man who builds bigger barns to store his harvest is a fool. He lives completely for himself. He talks to himself. He plans for himself. And he even congratulates himself. And his sudden imminent death proves him to have lived as a fool. Foolishness. Foolish. We human beings can be just that, can't we? Have we ever put more faith in earthly treasures than heavenly ones? How often have we been guilty of being preoccupied with material things? How many moments, hours, days, years have we idly spent angsting over things we want, wish we had, thought about how we could get? Or once we've acquired them, how we're going to take care of them and hold on to them. This preoccupation with material things is anxiety producing, isn't it? Stuff. Things. Or lack of them. That can preoccupy our hearts, our minds. This greed, this covetousness is folly, and we all at some time in our lives have probably been guilty of it. The anxiety it causes shows clearly our lack of trust in God when we live with greediness in our hearts. When we do that, we're living like atheists. We've forgotten that any abundance we enjoy is not of us or from us, but any abundance we experience are gifts from God. We don't always trust in God and instead trust in our material possessions. And when we do that, we are clearly showing our lack of generosity towards those in need. We're showing our lack of interest in the kingdom of God. Craving earthly possessions is futile, and it's foolish, and it's anxiety producing. And our anxiety about stuff is counterproductive. Why? Because it is a It is an exercise in unbelief. So how about us here today? What are we craving? And what are we pursuing? Are we seeking the kingdom in the sure and certain hope and belief that it is God's desire to give it to us? Or rather, are we selfishly, foolishly living as atheists, believing that we can acquire security with possessions? Do you remember the fate of the rich fool? Hear again the closing words of Jesus' parable. Just after the rich fool has boldly stated he has ample goods stored up for many years, so he's going to relax and eat and drink and be merry. The parable closes in this way. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. There's the clincher. Our security, our future, our present is to be found in and rest in God in Christ. In Him and Him only is our life, our security, our treasure. The words of the hymn we are about to sing, "Be Thou My Vision," summarizes it so beautifully. Better words than I could ever share, and it is my prayer this very day that these words won't just be words we sing, but will ring true about our hearts and our very lives. Hear them now as I close. Riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. Great God of heaven, my treasure thou art. May these words be acted out in our lives, both now and in the days to come. May it be so for me and for you and for all of us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.